Hi everyone, and welcome to Beverage Chronicles. I'm your host, Gary Monteroso. Each week, we bring you the latest beverage news, plus smart consumer tips to help you buy better. Whether you're choosing beer, wine, spirits, or zero proof options, let's dive into what's new, what's noteworthy, and what's worth bringing home. This is Beverage Chronicles. We are happy to announce a new regular contributor to our show, and this is a person by the name of Katie Johnson. She is a certified beer server and a home brewer with a decade of experience exploring the world of independent brewing. She has plans to pursue the certified Cicerone exam, and if you're wondering what that is, a Cicerone is an expert in the brewing, selection, pairing, and serving of beer. And this is a certification process that includes written and tasting examinations, as well as a demonstration of beer pairing expertise. Think of it similar to a wine sommelier, except this person, a certified Cicerone, focuses specifically on beer. Now, Katie samples more than 800 new beers every year. And she regularly engages in educational discourse with industry professionals, and she publishes hundreds of beer reviews annually through online platforms. And you will often find her published under the name She Reviews Brews. Katie focuses on casual yet informed, thoughtful evaluation, style awareness, and helping drinkers navigate an ever-expanding beer landscape to better understand and enjoy what's in their glass. That's Katie Johnson. We are so happy to have her joining us here on Beverage Chronicles, and she has her first report for us. We're going to get to that right now.
Hi friends, my name is Katie, but you may know me on social media as She Reviews Brews, where I do just that, talk about beer, primarily on Instagram, TikTok, and now Facebook. I'm a certified beer server, studying to become a certified Cicerone, I'm a home brewer, and I have some experience brewing with larger equipment in an actual brewery. But hey, if you care less about my qualifications and you're more of a numbers person, then just trust me when I say, I drink a lot of craft beer. So today, I want to spend some time with you reviewing a beer that most people have heard of, but probably haven't really thought about in a while. That is Sierra Nevada's Pale Ale. Now, I know back in September of 2025, the Beverage Chronicles actually did an episode titled The 5 Beers That Changed the Way Americans Looked at Beer, and they briefly referenced this as one of them. So I really wanted to do this review and learn more about that. So this is a beer that you can find almost anywhere in the United States. In fact, I got this at a local gas station for less than $2. So not only is it accessible, but it's also affordable, which sometimes causes people to dismiss it as ordinary or boring, but it's actually one of the more influential beers in American craft brewing. Obviously, the name says it all. The style of this beer is a pale ale, and it comes in at 5.6% ABV. I had this beer for the first time in June of 2018. I will say that I hadn't been drinking craft beer for very long at that time, and so my rating of this was probably a little unfair, and we'll get to that in a second, but just know that my palate was not super refined, and I didn't understand the brewing process. This beer has a global average rating of 3.52 out of 5 stars, and that's out of 544,000 users who have logged it and rated it on the app Untappd. 7.5 years ago, I gave this beer a 3 out of 5 stars, which is not too far off from the global average rating, but I have a feeling that after revisiting it today for the first time in a while, I'm going to adjust that personal rating to be a little bit more fair and indicative of what marks this beer was supposed to hit and how they did so. So before we get to that, let me tell you why this beer paved the way for change in American craft brewing. Sierra Nevada Pale Ale was first brewed in 1980 and released commercially in 1981, and that time frame is important because at that point, American beer was pretty much dominated by very light and neutral lagers. So hops weren't really a featured flavor, and bitterness was usually something that breweries tried to avoid, but this beer helped change that. Sierra Nevada Brewing Company started in California, and today they also have a second brewery in North Carolina. So that bi-coastal setup kind of allows them to distribute fresher beer across the country, and in fact, I guarantee that you can find this in a grocery store or a gas station near you like I did. So regarding the flavor profile and the brewing process, one of the biggest reasons that this beer stood out, especially when it was first made, is its use of Cascade hops. For those of you who don't know, Cascade hops bring a citrus and pine note, and sometimes they're described as a grapefruit flavor with a bit of a floral edge. So at the time, in the 80s, those flavors were not common in American beer. Today, they're everywhere, and in large part, that is because beers like this introduce people to them. So let's revisit this beer together. Off the top, just coming off of the aroma from the head, I'm getting a little bit of that pine, but it's really light and not overbearing like some hop-forward beers can be. In that first sip, you do get a light bitterness, but again, not overbearing or overwhelming the palate by any means. And more than anything, I pick up on what I would refer to as more of a bready flavor or malt. And what's interesting about this beer is that despite its reputation as being a hoppy beer, Sierra Nevada Pale Ale is actually pretty balanced, and a lot of that comes from the malt and the grain. And speaking of that, the base of this beer is American two-row pale malt, and that gives it a clean, bread-like foundation to the flavor, and it gives the whole beer structure without making it too heavy. I think there's also a small amount of caramel malt, which helps give it that subtle, toasted note, and it adds to the beer's beautiful amber color. And that malt backbone does matter. It's what keeps the hops from taking over completely. So instead of a sharp bitterness, you get something a little bit more palatable, which is what I was getting at when I was taking my first sips and I said it's bitter, but it's a light bitter. And those citrus and pine notes do show up first for a lot of people, especially in the aroma, like I was mentioning, but they're supported by that crisp and the slightly toasted character that carries through the finish of the beer. And honestly, that balance is the main reason this beer is still so drinkable even today, even compared to many modern IPAs. It has flavor, but it doesn't overwhelm your palate. We'll get to my updated rating in a second, but another fact about Sierra Nevada is that the brewery remains independently owned, and they've kept the core recipe for this beer mostly the same throughout the decades. So they continue to use whole cone hops, which is pretty unique, and they also have been leaders in sustainability, whether that's their use of solar energy to their water conservation and things like that. So is this the best beer or the best pale ale that I've ever had? No, probably not. I have drank a lot of beer, but it is well made and is really thoughtfully balanced, which is probably why it's been around for so long. So I would rate this higher than I did back in 2018 when I had it for the first time, and I gave it a 3. I would probably rate it a 3.75 if I were to even have this for the first time ever today. I think that's fair and reflective of what they were trying to accomplish. For folks who are able to pick out the different hop profiles, I think you would be able to tell that this is Cascade hops just based on the aroma and the flavor. And I can see why maybe back then I didn't rate it super high and why it still has a 3.5 average. It's not the most dynamic or exciting beer, but again, it is well balanced. And I think that's where that judgment comes in, where people think, oh, well, that's not an exciting beer. It must be bad. But just because a beer is more simply made doesn't make it bad. In fact, quote unquote, simple beers like this one are what get people into craft beer in the first place. In the 80s, Sierra Nevada knew that people didn't want to be overwhelmed or intimidated by bold flavors. And that method still holds true today. There are so many people who only stick to their domestics and their lagers because they don't want the bitterness or the hoppiness or the crazy fruit flavors. And then when they discover a beer like this that's neither too malty nor too bitter or too hoppy, it's just a perfect balance of each of those things, they think, wow, maybe I can get into craft beer. So if you're like me and you haven't had Sierra Nevada Pale Ale in a while, it's definitely worth revisiting now that you know a little bit more about it and its history. And if you've never had it before at all, or you're afraid of the word hoppy or pale ales, this would be a good one to start with, because it's a good reference point for not only understanding one major way that American craft beer has changed over the years, but also why balance matters. And I guarantee you'll be able to pick out that balance and identify the bitterness and that toasty malt flavor that we talked about. Cheers.
According to the Brewers Association, beer sales, particularly craft beer, have experienced a notable decline, with craft volume decreasing by 5% last year and 4% in 2024. The number of U.S. breweries has also shifted significantly, with 434 closures against only 268 openings last year. And that's quite a contrast to the peak of over 1,000 new openings annually just 8 years ago. And this marks a unique boom in American brewing history. Now, the downturn is not limited to the United States. Germany, in fact, is also facing diminished beer sales. And that kind of underscores the global nature of the trend in a country where beer is culturally significant. The reasons behind brewery closures are multifaceted, and yet historical patterns suggest this is not a novel occurrence. A similar trend was observed 20 years ago. Well, despite these fluctuations, it's important to note that quality breweries will continue to exist. Changes in consumer taste will always affect the market, but beer itself is an integral part of human culture that has withstood the test of time. Taking a historical perspective, the cyclical nature of beer popularity is evident in the recent resurgence of Guinness, particularly among younger drinkers, driven by social media trends such as viral TikTok videos and popular cultural references, including a Netflix show. Dark beers, once thriving in styles like porter in 18th century London and again in the mid-20th century with lower alcohol by volume varieties like dark mild, have seen shifts in consumer preference with the rise of lagers during the 80s and 90s. However, current trends indicate a revival as many craft breweries are reintroducing styles such as dark mild in their offerings. Notably, while Guinness has experienced stagnant sales in recent years, the past year has seen a resurgence with an increase of 9.2% in sales and a significant 25% rise in keg sales, as reported by Laura Merritt, who is the president of Diageo Beer Company. This evidence suggests a potential turnaround in dark beer's popularity among younger demographics, marking a return to styles that were once prevalent. In recent years, the revival of golden lagers has gained momentum, prominently featuring nostalgic retro-style label designs. According to Nielsen IQ, which monitors beer sales, pale lagers and pilsners emerged as two of the few beer styles witnessing growth in 2025. This resurgence taps into the nostalgia associated with the beers consumed by previous generations during the dominance of industrial American lagers and harkens back to the 19th century, marking the inception of the Pilsner in the 1840s. At that time, the golden lager was popularized by German and Bohemian brewers seeking to recreate familiar flavors from their homeland. The beer industry continually evolves, often revisiting successful past trends to remain relevant. Economic considerations also play a crucial role in the golden lager's popularity. They're often generally perceived as cost-effective options, partly due to pricing strategies employed by major breweries like Anheuser-Busch InBev. Retail giants such as Costco and regional grocery chains like Market Basket have successfully integrated budget-friendly lagers into their selections. Notably, Costco's Kirkland Signature Helles-style lager, manufactured by Deschutes Brewery in Oregon, and Market Basket's lager from Vermont's Zero Gravity Brewery, both very reputable craft breweries. Additionally, smaller breweries are entering the golden lager market with competitive pricing aimed at budget-conscious consumers, although this raises concerns regarding whether craft beer should lower its prices and potentially undermine its perceived value. The decline in craft beer consumption can be partially attributed to the drinking habits of Gen Z. However, attributing this trend solely to younger consumers is overly simplistic. Statistics indicate that Gen Z spends money on alcohol comparable to previous generations, yet they have a diverse array of beverage options available, including canned cocktails, non-alcohol beers, THC, CBD-infused drinks, and hard seltzers, which significantly broaden choice and present lucrative opportunities for breweries. While beer sales encountered difficulties in early 2026, it's premature to assert that the beer industry is in decline. The landscape is shifting, but beer remains a staple for various social experiences, be it at a sporting event, during a meal, or shared among friends. The essence of beer lies in its ability to facilitate enjoyment, a characteristic that persists through changing times. Although some breweries may falter, history suggests that the beer market will rebound, emerging smarter, more innovative, and with even more appealing offerings in the future. And that's this week's episode of Beverage Chronicles. Gary Monteroso saying, first of all, thank you for joining us every week. We're honored to have you with us, and looking forward to seeing you again next week. Stay well, everyone.